morning. Namu myoho renge kyo. Well, morning, whatever time of the day it is. It's a common YouTuber mistake, isn't it? Anyway, today's Go Show is good fortune in this life. And it's a brief Go Show, but it touches on a subject that whether you're a beginner or a longtime practitioner of myoho renge kyo, this is one of those that you either get it, and by that I mean, for some people it's something they accept, for other people it's something that they intuitively understand but have a hard time communicating, and for most of us mere mortals, it's something that every now and again makes us, in true YouTube parlance or social media parlance, SMH. It makes us shake our heads. Although if you study the 3,000 realms, the Nidana, the origins of life, Ichinin Sanzen, anything regarding the, yeah, I often use the word cosmology to talk about this, in cosmology of Buddhism, but it's more, cosmology is a restrictive term. It's in our age of specialization, everything has a bucket it fits into, but this set of concepts that is foundational to understanding the nature of life, the process of life. This is what Buddhism opens a window, door, wall to. And science is still working hard to catch up. Although every time in astrophysics or cosmology or astronomy or biology or electromagnetic field theories, quantum theories, they all chip away more and more toward what Shakyamuni Buddha simply talked about as foundational to the process of life. I'm always amazed when new discoveries come out, and I, as a Buddhist, I listen to them and I think, duh. not because, well, let's not get into issues of better or worse, it's just a matter of insight, isn't it? And that's our practice of Buddhism. So one of the concepts, one of the tendrils of these concepts is that our practice, as we talked about in the last video, affects our environments. All right, as practitioners, and the more we study, the more that seems to make sense, right? That you walk into a room with a smile on your face, and much of the room will lighten whoever is in the room, in other words. Even your pet, your dog. If you're in a good mood, not just a fake smile, your dog will be happy and bouncing around. But if you're angry, maybe you stubbed your toe, or maybe something happened at work, and or something in your relationship somehow, whatever it is, motivates you to be sullen or angry, your pet will hang its head and go hide, right? You don't need to tell it, I'm pissed off, and you should feel bad about that. It just does. Well, people are the same way. It's real graphic with a pet, usually. So it's no mystery to us that what we do to our life condition affects everything in our life around us, right? So we see it. We have actual proof, you would say. But if we extend that a little further and say, well, that same thing is true about how you affect your relatives, your genealogical connection, 7 generations back and 7 generations forward, that's a little bit more, a little harder to see how my working toward my enlightenment affects my great, 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 great grandparents. That's a little harder to see. That's a little harder to have actual proof of. But it's really just an extension of the same thing as walking into a room, right? It really, truly is. It's the same mechanism. So it's not outlandish. It's just harder because we don't, again, we're human beings in samsara. We're used to immediate gratification, immediate expression, immediate experience. It's hard to say, well, okay, I put my hand in a fire, it burned my fingers, right? That's obvious. But I put my hand in the fire and my great, 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 great grandmother burns her fingers or has, you see what I'm saying? That's only in the mind that you can conceive of how that might work. But again, those are earthbound questions. This human, what's the word? Mundane experience. I know there's nothing mundane about it, but in terms of experience, it's a routine, moment-to-moment routine, repeated over and over again. That is what we mean by a mundane existence, which we deeply influence with our Myoho Renge Kyo practice, right? So, some reference is going to be made to that by Nichiren as he writes this letter. He's about 55, and he's in Minobu, and he writes this letter to Nanjo Tokumitsu, who is a very strong follower of Nichiren's. And you can see we've been reading recent Goshos to people that are central to Nichiren's survival and support. And so he wants to let these people know how important they are, not just to him selfishly, he's very humble in all this, but to let them know that their efforts are more deeply grounded in their own practice, not simply personally supporting Nichiren, as it were, but the votary of the Lotus Sutra conceptually for them is deeply affecting. And to demonstrate how deeply affecting this is, he talks to Tokumitsu about affecting his practice, effect having an effect on his deceased father. And there it is, that touching upon something that Buddhists, older Buddhist monks, people really concerned with or focused on or spending their lives studying and exploring, almost take for granted this aspect of Buddhism and our practice that is really quite astounding. That if you break it down into, biology, for instance, the way we affect every cell in our body with our Myoho Renge Kyo practice, obviously, if we have offspring that are collections of karmic energy that meld and are a good fit with our cellular karmic energy that is living with our Myoho Renge Kyo practice, then that child will be imbued. Doesn't that make sense? That's physical. We can visualize that experience. That's why they call children of parents that practice Myoho Renge Kyo fortune childs. That doesn't mean everything's going to go glowingly, but it means that they have a true heads up on their internal experience, their life condition, their mental perception of life. Whether they practice or not, but certainly if they begin to practice, they will more easily experience the mind opening up to myoho renge kyo. Anyway, might be getting off track there, but see, all of this fits into this rubric of the, I need to find a word that combines cosmos, physics, chemistry, biology, origins of life, quantum fields, gravity. What word? The process of life, the Buddhist perception of the 3,000 realms, basically. All right, so let's get into it. We had our little fireside chat there. Okay. Good fortune in this life. Early in the new year, I received your greetings from your messenger. Let us congratulate each other. And I have received your various gifts, including 70 slabs of rice cake, a bamboo container of sake, a horse load of taros, the seaweed that was popular at the time, one paper bag of river lava, which also seaweed, two bundles of radishes, and 7 yams. These articles demonstrate your warm-hearted sincerity. And you have to imagine, again, that messengers didn't travel alone for safety and for, you know, these traverses of country and so forth. There would be an entire entourage with animals to carry loads and so on and so forth. So every visit was a pilgrimage of sorts. He continues, the 8th volume of the Lotus Sutra says, quote, their wishes will not be in vain, and in this present existence they will gain the reward of good fortune, end quote. It also states, quote, in this present existence he will have manifest reward for it, end quote. Manifest reward. Sound familiar? Right? The 10 factors of life. The great teacher Tendai said, quote, the Son of Heaven uttered not a single word in vain, and the words of the Dharma King contain no falsehood. End quote. If one is a worthy ruler, one never lies, even if it would bring about one's ruin. How much more is this true of the thus come one Shakyamuni, who, when he was King Universal Brightness in a previous existence, returned to the palace of King Spotted Feet to be executed because he observed the precept against lying. When he met King Kali in another past existence, he declared that those people who speak little truth or tell great lies will fall into hell. In addition, referring to the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha himself declares there, quote, the world honored one has long expounded his doctrines and now must reveal the truth, end quote. And furthermore, it was expounded at the assembly where many treasures Buddha and the Buddhas of the 10 directions had gathered, as if the sun and the moon, the countless stars, were arranged side by side. If there are any falsehoods in the Lotus Sutra, what then can people believe in? Sounds like a preamble, right? Those who offer even a flower or a stick of incense to such a sutra have offered alms to 100,000 million Buddhas in their previous existences. Moreover, in the latter day of the... Now, see this... I don't know if it's the fault of translations, but I want to make it, again, obvious that this teaching of kind of timelessness... And time gets wrapped up in this too. This is why I want to combine physics and into this equations. We hear or read these statements a lot, not just in Nichiren but throughout the sutra about if you've offered alms or say if you're helping the votary of the or if you're making an offering more accurately to the Lotus Sutra. So understand this chain of events. If you're supporting a bodhisattva, your teacher, or somebody who's as large in scope as Nichiren, who's not just a personal teacher, but a teacher of a vast number of people bringing this doctrine of the Lotus Sutra to light, thereby a votary of the Lotus Sutra. It's your offerings are not to the human, but to the Lotus Sutra. Do you see how that chain works? So whether it's you're making a donation, or you're sending a box of incense, or anything regarding your practice, really, that you're extending as a support. You can say gift, but it's a support to your teacher or teachers or somebody specific who is a figurehead of. Again, everything's based on the Myoho Rengekyo, the teaching of Myoho Rengekyo. So you offer incense to your altar, that's an offering to Myoho Rengekyo. You make a donation to my endeavors, or if you're, we don't have these structures of, they still exist, but they're organizations. In olden days, making offerings to the temple was because they were an institution of governance. They were, I've said before, they're very tied to governance, politics, good fortune in your area. So that was different. Even all churches used to be more social, governmental bodies. Not that Buddhism is, I don't classify it as a religion, and there's many reasons for that, and I talk about it in other videos. But suffice it to say that the social fabric today isn't built around institutions of religion, philosophy, whatever. These are personal choices we make. And Buddhism is extremely well suited for this, because we are, in fact, our own church. And everything we do is toward our own perceptive reality and experience, right? So to put that in an organization or an institution isn't appropriate, because that counters the individual mandate, right? But suffice it to say that the Sangha is a construct of human one-to-one practicing and support. So in a way, you could identify that as an organization, but it's not a, it's an organization in true social fashion, right? Rather than an instituted brick and mortar location with its own hierarchies, who runs the place, the publications, how do we collect money, how do we grow our membership, isn't about Kozen Rufu. It's about business. And that's where it contradicts Sangha. Sangha isn't about business, economic stature, and so forth. Sangha is about growth, spiritual growth, life condition, connection, and self-teaching to spread the knowledge. Right? Doesn't cost you anything, per se. There's no fee. If you want to support financially that endeavor, to you're benefiting not just yourself and whoever you're sending the donation to, but the Sangha in its entirety. That's a much deeper contribution, a much deeper influence. Right? It's immediate. It's your connection to Myoho Rengekyo, not, you know, anyway, you get the point. So, this is what Nichiren's talking about here. But the point I want to get back to is that we hear in the expedient means of all the sutras and Nichiren as well, this statement, and I'll read it again. Those who offer even a flower or a stick of incense to such a sutra, to the Lotus Sutra, to Myoho Rengekyo, have offered alms to 100,000 million Buddhas in their previous existences. There we go again, right? What does that mean? That, if you take for granted the wording of the translation, think, oh, this is that energetic cellular connection, not even cellular, it's before the cell, it's the energy that creates the cell, is unfettered by time. And that's a very important concept, because that's what allows Buddhism to say that your enlightenment, your efforts in Myoho Rengekyo reverberate through generations of deceased relatives who are all in the chain of you, and the future of the chain of you, because that's a time problem for us in samsara, right? We grapple with time all the time. I just realized how that sounded. For instance, humanity's great fascination with death. This whole reason for all of this rhetoric about afterlife, rebirth, right? What's the Hindu thing? Reincarnation, right? I have documents on my resource website, threefoldlotus.com, about this mythology that we've created as a species to somehow get comfortable with the idea that we're going to die. Well, Buddhism takes care of that very eloquently, I think, by saying that in a moment-to-moment existence, every moment is a little death and a birth, life and death. That's the cycle. Birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. 3,000 realms. Nidana, Ichinin Sanzen. All of it is around this idea that time, the only relevance that time has is in this human existence. Because that's how we experience the life process. It's like, it's like taking an eyedropper and taking a drop of water out of a great ocean, putting it on a glass slide, sticking it under a microscope, and then looking through the microscope and watching all of the little activity. That's what our human samsaric life is like. This little microscopic little view of something that's so great and vast that all we can do is try to understand and extrapolate from this little microscopic idea of what's going on, what the whole ocean looks like. So you could look at it as this little microscopic sample that we're looking at as a snapshot, a tiny little time observing snapshot of something so vast that we can't hope to see it all. But by understanding what's in our microscopic little version, we can extrapolate and we can know that this little microscopic thing reacts to and acts upon us in this vast manner as well, because they are the same thing. We're just looking at a tiny little capsule of it. To the ocean, this drop is, it's not even, it's barely relevant, right? Even though it's the same stuff. So this process of life, so huge, so vast, that it contains the universe we think we know. This microscopic slide is the entire universe. So think about how small your time component is personally to this vast, vast thing. This time becomes irrelevant. This is why what you do in this microscopic slide, when it drops back into the ocean, what human beings call our demise, our death, we cease to exist as a drop anymore because now we're part of the vast ocean. But whatever we've done to that little drop does affect, although microscopically, the entire vast ocean of the planet. How could it not? It's very incremental. So this idea of you've made offerings for 100,000 million Buddhas in the previous existences is the idea that when you put your drop back into the ocean, you touch the entire ocean. How can you not? You are of it. I know it's hard to get the head around, and I have several videos about it under the playlist of Origins of Life or 3,000 Realms. Anyway. Just checking the time. Moreover, in the latter day of the law, Shakyamuni, thus come one, when the world is in a chaos, and the ruler, his ministers, and the common people all alike hate the votary of the Lotus Sutra. In other words, this isn't hating Nichiren. This is hating any vehicle that leads to Myoho Renge Kyo. Understand? When this votary is like a fish living in a puddle during a drought, or like a deer surrounded by all sorts of people, those who visit this votary on their own will obtain far greater blessings than they would make offering with their mind, mouth, and body for the space of an entire kalpa to the living Shakyamuni Buddha, the Lord of Teachings. The golden words of the Thus Come One are clear. So, that's quite a statement. It's an interesting one to ponder. What he's saying is that the offerings you make willingly, of your own accord, again, this individual practice, the offerings you make in time, in effort, to learn Gangyo, to chant well and proudly, not with ego, but with resolve, the word I keep looking for. Making an altar, setting up a mandala of Gohonzon, study, any effort you make to truly connect with Myoho Renge Kyo is, in fact, support, an offering of your time, your resolve, your effort, your mental state. Because, not just because, but because Shakyamuni Buddha is no longer here to hold your hand and show you how to do it, you're doing it all of your own accord. Your rewards in terms of your life condition are vastly greater than if you were a student of Buddhism during Shakyamuni Buddha's own lifetime. It makes sense, right? Because if the originator, the massive mentor is extant in your life, they're hand-holding you, helping you get up. No, do this, here, I'll show you how. And you still make the effort, but with the support of Shakyamuni Buddha, my goodness. How strong is your resolve? Now that Shakyamuni Buddha is 3,000 years gone, and you're slogging yourself up in the morning going, oh man, I have to do Gangyo. And you rinse out your mouth and, barely put some clothes on, and you sit down, you turn on the light in your butsudan, you chant, you put a little water offering in there, you light some incense, candles. You're making all of these efforts. There's a payoff. There's a huge payoff. Much greater than if you had anyone there holding your hand. It's individual. This is why I always remind you, this is your Buddhahood, your Buddha nature, your Buddha wisdom. This is yours to hold and uncover. Uncover your specific Buddhahood. Nobody can do that for you. There is no Buddha walking around getting you out of bed. Come on, come on, let's go chant. No, this is on you. And therefore, you get all the reward. Not feeling rewarded? Go chant. It's there. It's, in a way, waiting for you. So this is what Nichiren is saying, right? This is what Buddhism says. But it's sometimes obfuscated in this storytelling manner. And I worry that it's easy to miss because the profundity of this is so amazing. Nichiren continues, "The sun is brilliant and the moon clear. The words of the Lotus Sutra are brilliant and clear, clear and brilliant." Myoho Renge Kyo. "Yet could the thus come one's pronouncement, quote, in this present existence they will gain the reward of good fortune, end quote, or his proclamation, quote, in this present existence he will have manifest reward for it, end quote, possibly be empty only for Nanjo Shichiro Jiro? It is certain that even if there were an age when the sun rises in the west, or a time were to come when the moon emerges from the ground, the Buddha's words would never prove false." Again, the cosmology creeps in here. It's time, our physicality, the nature of the universe around us. Even if it were all topsy-turvy, it's irrelevant. What is relevant is your enlightenment. "Judging from this, there cannot be the least doubt that your late father is now in the presence of Shakyamuni Buddha, the Lord of Teachings, and that you will receive great blessings in your present existence." How wonderful, how splendid, Nichiren. So there you have it. Easy to miss the depth, the profundity of these Buddhist ideas when we read these letters. How much do we not hear? How much do we not know of the dialogue, the practice, the other letters that were evident, obviously written that we no longer have access to. But in totality, and this is why study is so important, we have this huge compendium of information from Nichiren. There's information to be had about Dengyo, about Dendai, about Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu. Many books have been written, plus there are some extant documents. But by far, the largest compendium of information we have on practicing Myoho Renge Kyo, Buddhism in its entirety, are scholarship, both within and without Buddhism, from Shakyamuni himself and Nichiren, by far. I'm not saying don't study the other stuff. Please do. I've put together stuff on other bodhisattvas that I name all the time, from Dengyo to Nagarjuna, very valuable. But a lot, but most of that is available in sutra form, right? But through several translations. But with Nichiren, we have actual documents. So, study, in a way, is very repetitive, but it's repetitive in an interesting sense, because everything that Buddhist scholarship discusses is wrapped around these very few integral concepts. So integral, so submicroscopic, that all of these 84,000 teachings, is the rhetoric, are all talking about the same thing from different angles, right? The story about the great castle in the distance. Hindoku Yaku, poison in the medicine, the physician and his three sons, the frog and the is fitting into the hollow of a log, or not frog, turtle, sorry. Yeah, there's so many analogies, stories. We use these stories, analogies, and so forth to help our isolated little life peak our brain's intuition and our insight, so that we can all understand the same thing. But even if we all understand the same thing, myoho rengekyo, we all come to it, all come to that understanding through our own specific little set of filters, right? Ultimately leading us to the same thing, our personal, you know, what do we have on the planet? Almost 8 billion people, 8 billion Buddhas. They're all Buddha. They're all the Buddha experience, but they're individual to each our little window, vast as the experience is. That's as exciting as it is daunting, but I encourage you, just try. Just keep at it. It multiplies the more you do. And as Nichiren points out, you can't rattle the ocean without feeling some resistance from time to time. Sometimes what you're confronting is deeper than your life alone. This is the idea of Ichin and Sanzen, right? If your life, if your practice of Myoho Rengekyo can affect your deceased relatives for 14 generations, whatever number you want to assign to it, doesn't it also follow that all those generations affect you, and that that karmic, that energy flow, some of it might be ancient and have a very, very fundamental grip on your life condition? So as we dissect our karma, as we open doors of awareness, clarity, some of them might be rusted and be very, very hard to open. But they'll open. They are opening as you chant. The reason you got there is because you went through all of these other layers. So don't be dismayed if your practice seems like you're struggling with it. Like you just don't want to get out of bed and do gongyo in the morning. That's just karma. Just flip it on its head. So when you really don't want to wake up and one eye is sticky and you're opening it, that's your Buddha nature is wanting you to wake up. When it feels that difficult, smile. Because you're doing it. Don't just stop there. get out of bed, get to your altar, chant, right? Because then you win. Then you're opening that rusty door. You're a big can of WD-40. That's the nature of busting through karma. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Enough blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much for being here, for listening. Check out the podcast, the Buddhahood Podcast. Check out threefoldlotus.com. Go to the core study page. Lots of links, lots of information to satisfy your curiosity. I know there's things that I don't have up there yet. I need to add more to that website, but I want you to be the driver there. I want to give you what you need. So comment. And to all of you new folks who are sending in generous contributions, asking questions, that's a contribution. Thank you. Thank you. Beyond the depths of my heart. I don't know how to say it. The Sangha appreciates you. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Buddhas for hundreds of millions of years appreciate you. Let me say it in the rhetoric, okay? Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next one. Take care of yourself. Keep your practice strong.